I speak to you in God's holy name. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. This gospel today follows along with last week's gospel, and I just want to reiterate that we know, and people then knew, that Jesus was speaking metaphorically, that when you eat and drink of the Lord, eat His flesh, drink His blood, He wasn't meaning in a literal way. He was meaning that you take totally Jesus into yourself and live that way. Live with the Spirit of Jesus alive in you. But some people were upset with this, not because of the metaphor, but because Jesus was preaching a gospel of love and reconciliation and being together with God in a positive, unifying manner. And they were from a school of thought that thought that Jesus was going to be leading a rebellion against the Romans. And so when they heard Jesus say this, they started to leave him because they were the zealots. And it's probably an indicator here that Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, was a zealot, and that Jesus was referring to that in John's gospel that we read this morning. That we are here to follow Jesus in the spirit of Jesus' teachings, the spirit of love and reconciliation and care. We are living at a time in which it seems that some people in North America, at least, are forgetting this spirit within the Christian family. And it's been my experience of late that people are challenging some of our foundational beliefs in love and care, forgiveness and reconciliation within the Christian family. As you know, I've been going out around and doing some cold calling. Most of cold calling is going to an empty house. And you leave a card, no one's home. And occasionally I meet people and they tell me they go to a church of their own, and you know, or they tell me they don't believe and thank you for coming by. And I say, well, if you ever change your mind, you know the door is always open for you at All Saints. But occasionally I will find somebody who's really quite interesting to talk to, and I make sure I don't take it personally, and they go on the attack. And they go on the attack about there's so much darkness in the world, and why are you bothering to talk about a loving Jesus, and that we're really just going to crash and burn, and that you Christians have added to that because you've turned your backs on climate change, you've turned your backs on this, that, or the other thing. And it's really interesting. Why would God allow refugees to drown in the Mediterranean Sea? And I hear lots. And it's really an interesting time, and I've learned not to take it personally, but to really know what's going on in the minds of people who are in the marketplace. And I thought to myself, you, the members of this congregation, you are in the marketplace too all the time, and you encounter this in your daily lives. Maybe God talk doesn't come up too often for you, but when it does, how do I respond to this? Do I just duck and hide? Or say, well, go ask my minister. Maybe that happens. I'll give you his phone number. But I thought it's important that we as people alive in 2018 have some tools. How do we respond to what's being said to us often? And I worried about this, and I thought, well, I have to somehow respond to this so that you who are the eyes and ears, you are the ministers of the church. As you go about your daily lives, maybe you do tell people you attend church and maybe not, and that's your business. But those of you who know, others know you as a church member, they may come to you with stuff. And you say, wow, how do I handle this? I passed out to you this morning some blue sheets that have some statements. This is not a creed, but these are general statements that I'm going to just briefly go over and you can read them later. But they are a toolbox. And this toolbox has been devised by the Episcopal Church and the Lutheran Church in the United States, the churches in Canada, and also the Methodist Church in the States. And it's a part of a letter that was signed by 67 different church leaders across North America. And it's been signed by the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church as well. And so I thought, this is a very good toolbox that we can use in the marketplace for when people come to us with very serious concerns and you say, well, I'm not ordained, I'm not a theologian, how do I respond to this? And it's really speaking not just to non-Christians, but to Christians who somehow have received a distorted view of the gospel. And, you know, we're not from Liberty University in the southern states, but we hear that message because it comes across to all of us that it really distorts what is Christianity about in 2018. We believe each human being is made in God's image and likeness. That's the first statement in this work that's been done. We believe that each human being is made in God's image and likeness. That doesn't mean that some are and the rest aren't. It says that everyone, whether they be Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or Jewish or Taoist or whatever you want, or no religion, are all made in God's image. That God loves all of God's creation. And so when people start going at us about these filthy this and this dirty that, just say that you are criticizing the handiwork of God. This is not pleasing. If you believe in God, remember that God loves all of God's creation. We believe we are one body. In Christ there is no oppression based on race, gender, history, identity, or class. We believe we are in one body. We are not separate because some are white, some are black, some are red. We are one. And we have to remember that. And we've heard in Canada this week about people questioning the place of immigrants in our country. I'm an immigrant. Most of us in here are children of immigrants. And we have to remember that. When we criticize an immigrant, we're actually criticizing ourselves. And we have to remember that God has given us place here and we're to form one community. We believe how we treat the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the sick, and the prisoner is how we treat Christ himself. That's always a learning. We sometimes, people come to me and say, you know, you're too easy. You're just a mark. Because somebody comes and tells you that they don't have food for your baby and you will find a bit of money for them. And they probably go off to the bar and drink it. I don't know that. But it's on them if they've lied to me. But I want to make sure that their child has food. Now, I normally will go with them to the store and we'll buy some baby food. I mean, I've done that. But we have to remember that we are to have compassion. We today as Christians who are enlightened, emergent, progressive Christians and all Christians, no matter who, are to treat those who are less than ourselves, the hungry, as Jesus would have us treat them. And Jesus called us to do that in Matthew. We believe that truth is morally central to our personal and public lives. Truth is the truth. We have people who worship here in our community who are part of the legal commission. If truth was taken away and truth was sort of contingent on how you feel today or tomorrow, like we've heard it being broadcast recently, our whole justice system and our sense of